Isn't Easter a mix of emotion? We're singing or listening to songs about our friend being crucified. And tears are forming in the corner of my eye. And then I'm still thinking through that. And then we're singing about the hope and the resurrection and the empty tomb. It's like, whoa, okay, now my emotions need to catch up there with all that Easter encompasses. He was despised and rejected by men. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and pain. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. So after I just explained all the emotions that are connected just with Easter itself, I'm going to connect Christmas and Easter for you a little bit this morning. All of it is part of the new covenant. All of it is part of God's plan. So we have Christmas where we are excited about this little baby. Then we have Easter where we remember his death and his resurrection. So there's one piece of that I want to connect for us today, and I feel like it's the message that the Lord wants us to concentrate on this morning. God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary and said, "You will have a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will have no end." Her relative Elizabeth, who wasn't able to conceive, did give birth to John, who became the Baptist. His father prophesied this about Jesus: "He will shine upon those who sit in darkness to guide our feet into the way of peace." Did you catch that the verse I started with from Isaiah said that his chastisement — well, that's not a word we use too often. That means his punishment. He took the punishment that we deserved so that we could have peace. Then you all remember that the angels appeared to the shepherds announcing Jesus' birth and proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among mankind." So I want to talk about two kinds of peace today. The first peace is the peace with God. That is part of the Easter message, part of this peace that was announced at Jesus' birth, part of what he provided for us by the punishment that he took for us. God made us able to choose. And so we can choose either the things that please God — we can choose to obey him — or we can choose to disobey him and make choices that displease him. Well, when you look through the history of the human race, I think you'd agree we didn't do so good on the making the right choices. We start there with Adam and Eve and just go through our history and look at those choices. How about your personal choices? Have we made choices that caused a separation between us and God? Mankind tried to bridge that separation. Even though they may not have consciously been aware that there was a separation, they knew that something was not right between them and God. So they tried to do things like, well, if I do enough of this or I do enough of that, then maybe I can earn my way. Maybe I can buy my way. Maybe I'll get to the place where I deserve to be forgiven. Maybe I will be good enough to get into heaven. Have you ever heard anyone say that? when you try to share the gospel message with them. And then we did just a wonderful thing. We invented religion. And religion is all about rules and regulations that make us feel better. You know, if I get my Sunday school pin, or if I get my good attendance pin, you know, then the Lord's going to have to look at those, you know, and make the right decision about me. It's traditions that reassure us that we'll be accepted. But I think God's word says something different than that, doesn't it? It tells us that every single person has done something that displeased God. We've all missed the mark. We've all made choices that have caused the separation. God knew that we couldn't earn it. We couldn't buy it. We couldn't be righteous enough to deserve it. That's why he sent Jesus. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 9, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved." Amen. "And raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And even that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. This is not a result of works, so that no one can boast." Can't be earned, can't be bought. God's love and grace did what we could not. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it. Yep, we're all in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he chose to embrace us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all of this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. That's that verses from the message. God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, while we were still separated, while there was still things that kept us from him, Christ died for us. And then Romans goes on to say, "So if while separated we were reconciled through the death of his son, how much more should we be saved now that he lives? And now since we have been reconciled and have a restored relationship by faith, we have," now watch this, "we have," it's our possession, "peace with God." We have peace with God. So what I just want to remind us this morning, if there's anybody here who's not reassured that they have peace with God, that's what the Easter message is, that relationship can be restored. You can be forgiven. You can be redeemed. And you can have peace with God this morning. The second piece I want to talk about is also what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Because without his death and resurrection, we couldn't have this either. The first one was peace with God. The second one is the peace of God. So I want to set the stage here a little bit. This is Jesus' last week. It's his last time here on earth to have the communion of his disciples, and he's at the Last Supper. And he says, by this all mankind will know that you are my followers, if you love one another. So last Sunday, Stephanie talked to us about brotherly love and God's agape love. How can you measure, how can you know if you love? Have you ever answered that question? So if we're to have brotherly love and God's kind of love, how can we measure that? Jesus says to his disciples there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Now, he was going to physically do that. Very rarely would we physically do that, but that gives us the key. What does love look like? So if your life is all about what you need, what you want, what you would like, and that's what your conversation is about, that is not laying down your life for others. Laying down your life for others is when your conversation is, how can I help meet somebody else's need? How can I help them be all that God desires them to be and called them to be? And that's a great way to measure whether or not you have that love there. So then he continues and he tells them who he is. He does it clearly and they finally are like, oh, okay, now you're telling us who you really are. And then he reassures them. If you want to follow along, we're in John 14. So he's there with them. He had the Last Supper with them. He told them about loving one another. And remember, we're looking for peace of God. John 14. Okay, I'm going to be jumping around, so I'll tell you what verse I'm going to. Verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. If your heart is troubled, do you have peace? Believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. 9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you ask me, show us the Father? 16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. 26. But the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay? So now watch this. 27. So now that you understand who I am, who I came from, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Back to verse 1. Nor let it be fearful. This is the peace of God, because it's the peace that Jesus left here for us. And he said it's not as the world gives. So what kind of peace does the world offer? Well, the definition of peace in the world is when there's no conflict. Does that ever happen? I mean, can you ever not open the newspaper and read that there's a war here, there's violence there, there's threat of terrorism here? You know, a couple years ago, Ebola was spreading around the world. I mean, yeah. So if your peace was based on there being no threats or no conflict, we'd never have it. So yay for the peace of God. That is not like what the world is. Not like what the world is. The peace that Jesus left here for us is readily and abundantly available to all believers, all of Jesus' followers. It allows our hearts to be at rest even during conflict or when threats are near. Let's turn toward Philippians 4. I knew we had the choir this morning. I knew we had communion this morning. And so the Lord was gracious to give me one of those shorter, more intense messages. So the message is not long. It's not complicated. We're talking about peace of God, peace with God. And then we're going to take some time as we go into communion to make sure we leave here with both of them. Philippians 4, verse 3. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle. Paul understood conflict. Shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. Together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. They had the peace with God. Paul's getting ready to address the peace of God. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What? Didn't he just say he was in the midst of conflict and struggle? Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. How is that possible? In everything, instead of being anxious, everything by prayer and supplication with, what's your word say? Thanksgiving. You should have ended up sometime this weekend with your 29 days of gratefulness. That's part of not being anxious. So just a real quick reminder, you're not looking at what you don't have, but you're grateful for what you do have. Okay? So let's start 6 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of reading the news, which I don't do very often, in the midst of all that's going on, offer up prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And then, I love that. The peace of God, what did we say? It's not like the world, because why? It surpasses all comprehension. So if you would look at it and examine it and say, okay, all these things are going on in my life, how could I possibly have peace? It doesn't make sense. That's the kind of peace that he offers. It's Jesus' peace that surpasses all understanding. And what does it say it'll do? It will guard your hearts and minds. So what does a guard do? A guard stands outside and says, unless you have permission, you ain't coming in. So we can let it be a guard. If we give it permission to do that and say, peace of God, there's a bunch of things outside that door clamoring in to get in. Guard my mind and guard my heart. Because your mind are your thoughts, and we really can go all kinds of places with our thoughts. Our hearts are our emotions. Some of us can go all over the place with our emotions. So some of us need two guards. Some of us need a real burly guard in front of the one and maybe not in front of the other, because we're pretty good with that one. I think I need both most of the time. So the peace of God that passes all understanding that Jesus left, we want to invite that peace to guard our hearts and minds. the other part of allowing that peace to take its place in your heart and life is that there has to be room. You know, we only emotionally and mentally have so much capacity. So I felt like as we're getting ready to go to communion, first of all, if you don't have peace with God, please don't leave here today without coming up afterwards and talking to somebody or turning to somebody near you this morning and say, you know, hey, help me with that one and what Jesus did on the cross. But I also don't want you to leave here today without the peace of God. And so the way I feel this will go for some of us is that as we're taking communion, if we don't have peace with God, we would take care of that through prayer and just choosing to believe in all that Jesus accomplished. You heard it so clearly today through the choir. And then you heard it again through worship. And hopefully I shared it a little bit in my message. But if you have that peace with God, then make it a time of being grateful. God, I am so thankful. And you would think being saved since I was 17, I could do this, but every year it's the same way. I am just as grateful, if not more grateful, every year for what he did for me. And God's love that motivated him to send his son. And then if you're here today and you look inside your mind, yeah, the peace of God is really not ruling and reigning in there. Right there's the cross. We're going to have the guys up front with the communion today. On your way up through there, stop and leave there what needs to stay there. Whatever fear you came in with, whatever anxiety you came in with, just spend a little time over there and say, Jesus, at the cross, as you were getting ready to go to the cross, you said to your disciples, I will leave my peace here with you. So leave the fear there. Come up and take communion. Take it back to your seat. And then when you're there, say, I'm exchanging the fear and anxiety that I left there for the peace that Jesus provided for me this morning. Amen.